Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph, dated Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. We'll begin today's reading with the front page story, Prepare Now. Cases few in state, but officials and public take precautions. This is by Sierra Henry, Maria Nagel, and Kelsey Watznauer. McLean County train passengers were given a clean bill of health Monday, a day after authorities said a suburban St. Louis woman who rode the train last week may have contracted the coronavirus. Governor J.B. Pritzker declared a state of emergency after the number of cases statewide rose to 11. Travelers, armed with sanitary wipes and hand sanitizer, boarded Amtrak trains as usual, and the Illinois Department of Public Health said there were no passengers who required follow-up interviews in McLean County. It was a bright spot in an otherwise anxious start to the work week as COVID-19 cases continue to grow across the country. Four new cases were reported in Illinois, bringing the total to 11, almost all of which have been in the Chicagoland area. Still, the virus is not circulating widely in Illinois at this time, but we must prepare now to reduce the impact to our communities if it becomes widespread, IDPH Director Ngozi Ezike said. Prevention and transmission discussions continued throughout the day as government agencies, schools, and businesses struggled to adjust to the fast-moving reports. Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason announced that at the city council meeting on Monday night, that beginning Tuesday, the city will have a link on its website that will allow people to access the Centers for Disease and Prevention and the Illinois Department of Health to get the most up-to-date information about the COVID-19 virus. This is front and center on everybody's minds, he said of city officials. It seems to be ramping up, as do our internal discussions. Ward 7 Alderwoman Jen Carrillo participated in the meeting by telephone and is canceling her March community council meeting that was slated for 6 p.m. Thursday at the Miller Park Zoo because she was not feeling well. Carrillo said she was pretty sure it's just a cold, but I don't want to risk anyone getting sick. The Illinois High School Association said its boys' prep state tournament would proceed as planned this weekend at Peoria's Carver Arena. Music venues stuck to their schedules, and Illinois State University did not adjust any plans for on-campus events when students return next week from spring break. Likewise, city and county election officials made sure wipes and sanitizer were available to early voters, pointing out early voting is available for those who might want to avoid election day crowds, and Connect Transit increased regular cleaning and disinfectant applications inside its buses. Frank and Diane Norris of Pekin, traveling to Chicago on Amtrak, weren't worried about the virus. They said travelers should practice common sense. We would not take a cruise right now, and I would not travel out of the country, but things aren't any different right now, said Diane Norris. I'm carrying hand sanitizer, but we're not real worried about it at all. The Bloomington couple, aboard the Grand Princess, stalled in the waters off the California coast, were among thousands of passengers who disembarked Monday for quarantine areas in Georgia and Texas. Dave and Pat Getz of Phoenix, Arizona, visited Bloomington Normal for a wedding and were taking a train home. Pat Getz bought hand sanitizer and antibacterial wipes to use on seat trays, but felt many people were overreacting. I'd like to be updated, but don't like that it's the central news story, she said. I think there's some hysteria about this. COVID-19 concern increased Sunday in central Illinois after Amtrak confirmed a passenger had tested presumptive positive for the coronavirus. The passenger, returning home from overseas, had flown into Chicago's O'Hare Airport and taken Amtrak south to St. Louis. The Lincoln 303 train also stops in Normal, Lincoln, Pontiac, Dwight, Springfield, and Joliet. Amtrak took the train out of service Saturday night for cleaning, but it was hauling passengers again on Monday, said Amtrak spokesman Mark Maglieri. Stations in Chicago and St. Louis were disinfected. I don't think it changed my travel plans, but it got me a little scared, said Shinari Grant of Chicago, a student at the University of Illinois at Springfield, who was in Bloomington Normal to visit a friend. I'm not going to say people are overreacting because this is something that can affect a lot of people, but I'm still going to travel. Just be prepared. Other travelers said they were taking additional hygiene precautions but weren't canceling their trips. Some noticed an uptick in people wearing masks or speaking out more when people didn't cover their mouth when they coughed. Esther Bonner of Peoria said that when she was asked to borrow a pen, the person told her to keep it. I thought about traveling today, and it wasn't so bad today, she said. I think it's far more out of control than what they're saying because it's spreading like wildfire. Bloomington, Normal, and McLean County have a pandemic response drafted as far back as 2009 and updated as needed in response to new flu strains and outbreaks such as H1N1 and SARS. We will be totally on top of this situation, said Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, adding the city is coordinating with other government and public health officials. Our paramedics know how to disinfect the ambulances, and they also utilize measures to respond appropriately to protect themselves and help the patient, said Normal City Manager Pam Reese. Facilities management staff is taking measures to be sure they can decontaminate public places throughout public spaces, such as the Children's Museum. Neither Normal nor Bloomington canceled events or limited employee travel, and both public libraries remain open. Last week, State Farm, Country Financial, and Rivian limited non-essential travel for their workers. The country's pandemic response plan, the county's pandemic response plan, focuses on training first responders to ask patients whether they have recently traveled abroad, their symptoms, and how many people are inside the home, Normal Fire Chief Mike Hoomer said. Responders would wear eye protection, gloves, and gowns and give the patient a mask to limit exposure and potential contamination. Once at a hospital, the patient may be taken to a room that has special measures in place, such as air circulation or other ways to limit transmission. So the whole country has basically the same information as far as making sure you have the fewest amount of EMS personnel respond if there's any possibility of exposure, making sure the rest of the family members are quarantined, kind of, in their house, and that sort of thing. And just common precautions to make sure that we're washing and cleaning and wearing the right masks, said Eric Davison, spokesman for the Bloomington Fire Department. He said the department is making sure protective masks fit properly. Out in Washington, some 15 firefighters or so were quarantined, so it's a very real thing we might have to deal with, he said. Nothing is canceled currently, said Rory O'Connor, who owns the Castle Theater, a music venue in downtown Bloomington. We hope we can weave our way through this. The Illinois Mennonite Relief Sale, which is expected to bring thousands of people to the Interstate Center March 20th and 21st, is proceeding as scheduled, according to Ruthie Roth as Sale Executive Secretary. We're going to take every measure to control the situation, she said on Monday. We're going to have lots of hand sanitizer on hand. The Challenger Learning Center at Heartland Community College is continuing with programs and missions. No events are scheduled at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts until March 20th. Grossinger Motors Arena is scheduled to host a benefit hockey game Friday and a Christian music concert on Saturday. Most Central Illinois universities and colleges are on spring break this week, which means fewer possible infections now, but the specter of illness within a couple of weeks. For now, cleaning, rather than canceling, is the main line of attack in Bloomington Normal. It's low-tech, but it's effective, said ISU spokesman Eric Jome. Next, we'll continue on the same topic, coronavirus in McLean County. This is entitled Virus Not Seen Locally. McLean County health officials still stress taking precautions, by Paul Sweech. While there are no confirmed cases in central Illinois of COVID-19, health professionals are prepared if the new strain of coronavirus spreads to central Illinois and urge residents to do things to reduce their risks. We are not aware of any confirmed cases in central Illinois, McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said. The health department said Monday afternoon it had been notified by the Illinois Department of Public Health that there were no other Amtrak passengers for which the health department needed to follow up after a passenger who was presumptively positive for COVID-19 was on an Amtrak train that passed through Normal last week. Don't panic, advised Becky Smith, Senior Vice President of Nursing and Clinical Services with Bloomington-based Heritage Operations Group, which owns or operates 34 skilled nursing homes and 11 assisted and supported living facilities statewide. While there is no recommendation for central Illinoisans to alter their normal routines or self-quarantine if they aren't sick, health professionals are encouraging steps to reduce the risk of exposure or transmission. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention asks travelers returning from affected countries to stay home for 14 days. We encourage any McLean County resident returning from China, Iran, South Korea, and Italy to contact the McLean County Health Department at 309-888-5435 to assist with self-monitoring and to ensure they have the information needed in the event the resident may develop symptoms, McKnight said. If there were COVID-19 cases locally, affected residents would be asked to quarantine themselves in their homes. We have been strongly encouraging our community to prepare their households in the event they need to stay home for 14 days, McKnight said. If you are not feeling well, stay home and call your health care provider, Smith said. Masks and gowns are things that health care providers need to take care of patients, Smith said. Masks should be worn by people who are sick, but not the general public. Laurel Mode, infection preventionist with Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal, said, "We are still in the midst of influenza season, so help us all stay healthy. Persons who are ill should stay home and not attend large group activities or social programs." While COVID-19 is new, preparing for responses to disasters, including potential epidemics and pandemics, is not new for hospitals, Mode said. We have strong infection prevention protocols in place and have instituted recommendations for screening patients for respiratory symptoms and travel history or close contact with others who may have been exposed to the COVID-19 virus, Mode said. Last month, we assembled a team representing infection prevention, emergency preparedness, supply chain, and other departments to ensure our facilities are prepared with ample supplies and support to keep our patients and team members safe. OSF Healthcare Media Relations Coordinator Libby Allison said, "OSF healthcare leaders remain prepared and on alert. We are working with state and federal public health officials to take all preventative steps available to limit the spread of COVID-19. We have drafted plans if we were to fall short on some of our necessary supplies, such as personal protective equipment, but we are not at a point where supplies are not available for patient care," Allison said. Heritage has a very robust infection control program, has enough supplies, and has a task force to make sure that policies and procedures are followed, Smith said. Heritage and Westminster Village, the Bloomington Continuing Care Retirement Community, have protocols in place if they would need to quarantine residents and if they would need to shelter residents if there was a case of COVID-19 in the community, said Smith and Matt Ryle, Westminster Chief Operating Officer and Registered Nurse. Westminster has been hypervigilant about infection control, Riley said. Visitors who are ill or who have traveled to countries affected by the COVID-19 have been encouraged to avoid visiting residents, he said. We have plenty of personal protective equipment. Continuing with local and state news, we have an article entitled Crime Stats Down in City by Maria Nagel. Good news about the city's overall crime remaining at a record low setting. Low was offset by the gun violence among young males under the age of 22, Police Chief Dan Donath told reporters Monday night after presenting his first annual police department report since he took office in August. His report to the City Council included the city's 2019 Unified Crime Report statistics, which cover homicide, forcible rape, robbery, aggravated assault and battery, burglary, theft, motor vehicle thefts, and arson in the city. Cases totaled 1,492 last year, a 3% decrease from 1,537 in 2018. Except for spikes in 2008 and 2013, the city's crime numbers have declined since 1997, when there were 3,308 serious UCR crimes reported, according to police department officials. There were declines in every category last year, except for robbery, aggravated battery, and arson. In 2019, robberies increased by 54% and aggravated batteries by 24% due to the culture of gun violence perpetrated by young males under the age of 22, said Donath. There were 33 shootings in Bloomington in 2019, with 12 people hit by gunfire, resulting in one death, said Donath on Monday. UCR statistics don't include shootings. As part of the department's efforts to combat the gun violence, BPD will continue to partner with the City Life Program, which provides mentoring, leadership skills, employment, and conflict resolution to at-risk youth, said Donath. Donath also wants to address how the police department can better investigate and find the perpetrators of those types of crimes. In presenting the Not in Our Town, Bloomington Normal's 2019 annual report to the council Monday night, Mike Majetka said grassroots anti-discrimination group is assessing, with the help of several Illinois State University faculty members, a survey of local junior and senior high school students that netted 4,500 responses. The information will be shared with community and school leaders at a later date, he said. One of the comments from the young people was, "We're the mental health generation," which relates to tensions about school shootings and all of the tensions that young people are feeling, said Majeka. The other thing we're trying to find out is, where do they feel safe? In other action, no one spoke at a public hearing on the city's record-setting proposed budget of $230.3 million for next year. This is the next story on the coronavirus. This says, ship carrying virus cases docks at Oakland, Bloomington Normal couple aboard, by Kevin Barlow. A Bloomington couple on board a cruise ship with a cluster of coronavirus cases arrived in port Monday, but it could be at least 2 weeks before they're finally home. Jordan and Barbara May are on the Grand Princess, where at least 21 people have tested positive for COVID-19, also known as coronavirus. A 71-year-old California man died of the disease last week, and officials discovered he had been on the ship a month earlier. 19 crew members were among those who tested positive and were quarantined on the ship. Guests on Thursday were asked to stay in their rooms while test results on 45 crew members and guests were pending. On Monday, the ship docked at the Port of Oakland, but disembarkment of all passengers could take a couple of days. "We have a massive operation being set up on the pier," Barb May told the Pantograph. "Our balcony faces the pier, so we are watching the whole operation. We have not been contacted yet on when we will be getting off. It's getting real. Officials have not released a timeline beyond being a multiple-day process. Officials began transferring thousands of passengers to military bases for quarantine or returning them to their home countries. This embarkation will commence in order of priority as defined and directed by both state and local authorities, cruise officials said in a statement released on Monday. The U.S. Coast Guard will be sending California Health and Human Services teams to assist with the medical triage, screening, and interviews, and prioritizing those who require the most acute care. To avoid delays, testing will be conducted when guests arrive at their onward destination. Acute passengers were the first to be removed from the ship. Residents of California are in the second group. The Mays are in the third group, which includes U.S. citizens who have not shown any symptoms of the coronavirus. Once we are off, we will be in the hands of state and government agencies. Little nervous about this changeover, but we'll hope for the best, Barb added. The Mays are expected to be taken to Texas or Georgia and will be quarantined for 14 more days, Barb said. About 1,100 crew members, 19 of whom have tested positive for COVID-19, will be quarantined and treated aboard the ship, which will dock elsewhere after the passengers are unloaded, California's Governor Gavin Newsom has said. Passengers from the previous voyage have tested positive in California and other states. Six Canadians who were on the Grand Princess from February 11th to the 21st were also confirmed to have the virus. The California governor and Oakland mayor sought to reassure people that none of the cruise ship passengers would be exposed to the public before completing the quarantine. Officials were trying to decide where the ship and its crew could go next. The State Department warned against travel on cruise ships because of the increased risk of infection of COVID-19 in a cruise ship environment. Another Princess ship, the Diamond Princess, was quarantined for 2 weeks in Yokohama, Japan, last month because of the virus. Ultimately, about 700 of the 3,700 people aboard became infected in what experts pronounced a public health failure, with the vessel essentially becoming a floating germ factory. One more story about the virus. Governments battle coronavirus. Italy under lockdown. Trump teases financial plans to ease fallout. Italian Premier Giuseppe Conte put his entire country on lockdown Monday to combat the coronavirus, banning all but the most important travel and putting the final kibosh on social gatherings after Italians failed to take previous warnings to heart amid skyrocketing infections. 2 days after imposing the same strict measures on a quarter of the country in hard-hit North, Conte urged all 60 million Italians to stay home. The only travel allowed will be for cases of necessity. And in the United States, President Donald Trump said Monday his administration will ask Congress to pass payroll tax relief and other quick measures as the coronavirus fallout drew closer to him personally. The White House asserted it was conducting, quote, business as usual on Monday, but the day's business was anything but normal. Handshakes on the Hill were discouraged, and a Pentagon meeting was broken into subgroups to minimize the number of people in the same room. Meanwhile, the cruise ship, forced to idle for days off the coast of California because of a cluster of novel coronavirus cases aboard, arrived in port on Monday as state and U.S. officials prepared to transfer its passengers to military bases for quarantine or return them to their home countries. The Grand Princess pulled into the port of Oakland with more than 3,500 people aboard, 21 confirmed to be infected with the new virus. U.S. passengers will be flown or bused from the port, chosen for its proximity to an airport and a military base, to bases in California, Texas, and Georgia for testing and a 14-day quarantine. The ship is carrying people from 54 countries, and foreigners will be whisked home. For most people, the new coronavirus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough, For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause a more severe illness, including pneumonia. Around the world, the battle to halt the coronavirus brought sweeping new restrictions Monday. In addition to the travel ban in Italy, Israel ordered all visitors quarantined just weeks before Passover and Easter, and Spain closed all schools in and around its capital. We'll turn to some political news now. In DeWitt County, the state's attorney race tops ballot by Kevin Barlow. A race for the Republican nomination for state's attorney highlights the DeWitt County primary ballot on March 17th. Incumbent Dan Markwell is facing attorney Stephanie Scholes of Clinton. Markwell was appointed to the position in December 2014. In a questionnaire sent to the candidates by the DeWitt County Republican Central Committee, Markwell said his experience makes him the best candidate. "I have prosecuted in excess of 1,000 felony cases over my prosecutorial career, including but not limited to murder, predatory criminal sexual assault, delivery of controlled substances, home invasion, aggravated battery, theft, burglary, and residential burglary, to name just a few. I've tried several dozen felony jury trials as well as dozens of felony bench trials over the past 20 years. Scholes said she has the experience to be the county's lead prosecutor. Working as an assistant state's attorney in McLean County and almost 16 years as a private general practice attorney more than qualify me to be the state's attorney for DeWitt County. I practice general law at my office. I am known for family and divorce law. I, however, also practice criminal defense, contract law, forcible entry and detainer, probate, and several other areas of the law as required. There are no candidates listed for the Democrats. There are also two county board races on the Republican ballot. Three seats are available in District A, where incumbent Cole Ritter faces Jamie Pristegard, Aaron Kammeyer, and Claro Buck Carter. Three seats are in contention in District C. Incumbents Jay Wickenhauser and County Board Chairman David Newberg are joined on the ballot by Steve Oswald, Megan Myers, and Thomas Clayton Kuczynski. Some digest briefs. Sanders and Biden court Michigan voters. Bernie Sanders proved the seriousness of his presidential bid in 2016 with an upset victory in Michigan, powered by his opposition to free trade and appeal among working-class voters. 4 years later, the same state could either revive the Vermont senator's campaign or relegate him to the role of protest candidate. Michigan and five other states hold presidential contests on Tuesday at a critical point in the Democratic race. Former Vice President Joe Biden is looking to cement his front-runner status after winning the most delegates during Super Tuesday last week. He campaigned later Monday in Detroit with former presidential rivals Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, who have endorsed Biden in recent days as part of a broader consolidation of support. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. Please stay tuned.